Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, we started noticing, ours started about 6 months before the diagnosis. We started noticing that Kelsey was having problems, kind of limping on one leg, and she actually had some problems with controlling her bladder. And in a girl 9 years old, that's not normal. But the doctors kept telling us it's all in her head. They couldn't find a thing. They kept doing tests. They kept doing different things. They just said it was all in her head until we finally got somebody in Wolfson or at Nemours. They did an MRI, and then they said, wait a minute, this is a problem. And at that point, they found a very large tumor. It was about the size of a grapefruit in her, attached to her tailbone and in her stomach area. And it was Ewing sarcoma is what they diagnosed her with. And at the time, it had already spread to her lungs because over the 6 months or whenever it was growing, they hadn't spotted it. So her prognosis got worse and worse. As it went on, they kept telling us, well, this is curable, 80%. And the next day they would tell us, well, where it is, it's not operable, it's 50%. Then they found, well, wait a minute, it's spread, it's under 20%. And that's when they told us with the diagnosis, she only had a couple months to live.
And what year was this when the diagnosis came?
This would have been 2003.
And she's nine.
And she was nine, yep.
And you're told she may only have months to live.
Yep.
What did you tell her at nine?
Well, in fact, that's one of the biggest struggles. The doctor said, you got to tell her. Well, obviously, you got to tell her, but we explained that she had cancer, and that's a hard thing to do.
How did you, your wife, prepare for the conversation?
I don't know if you can prepare. You just tell yourself we're going to go do it. We're going to go tell her, and you sit and talk. You know, I remember her reaction. Yeah, I mean, she looked up and said, am I going to make it till I'm 10? You know, then what you do at that point, you tell your child that you got the best doctors on this, and they're going to give her hope, and they're going to have a plan, and they're going to go through, but you don't really know.
And she made it to 10?
She actually made it till she was 19. We were very lucky. You know, we were talking earlier that the doctors really said that there wasn't a protocol for this. This was something they didn't see. Maybe once or twice a year they'd see something like this, because Ewing's, well, 150, 200 kids, I think, are diagnosed with it each year, but the... to have these complications all in this once or twice a year. And they literally didn't know. They said, we can do the regular protocols, but they weren't sure. So they started talking to other hospitals across the country. Some, I remember them talking to NIH, St. Jude's. St. Jude's was working with Nemours and Wolfson quite often, is what I learned. And they helped come up with a plan. And I think the plan was you do the chemo. If she survived through the chemo, then we'd go to the next steps, which were radiation and some other things. That step, though, when we started checking, where would you do the radiation? Well, they had never done it here on this type of thing. In fact, there was no place in Florida that had ever done it. There was one place, I believe it was UF, that said they could do it. We checked with St. Jude's, and they said they had done it like 35 times. So the plan was to do certain things here, then move on to St. Jude's, which is what we ended up doing. The chemo worked pretty well. obviously. And then so somewhere, I think it was in October, November, I remember the doctor here calling us in and saying, we have to go to St. Jude's. So we spent the next, 5-6 months. We literally left the next day. We spent the next 5 or 6 months up at St. Jude's, and we went back several times for follow-ups and things like that over the years. So, yeah, we traveled quite a bit. Later on, with the radiation, the chemo, and other things, there were complications, and she was actually diagnosed with a different disease 5 years later, and that was osteosarcoma. And this was in the same area. And this time they said, if we're going to tackle this one, there has to be surgery. But again, they had to check across the country, and the only place they would do the surgery was actually at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, up in Minnesota. So we went there for another 6 months, and the surgery was 20 hours long.
She made it through surgery?
Yep. She ended up in a wheelchair, but she made it through surgery. And frankly, you go through that, and that's after 5 years. So now she's, 14, just starting to go. She did miss, I think, most of her freshman year of high school. But the school was great. They helped catch her up. She got into school. She loved it. She had a lot of friends. She actually joined the crew team. She was a coxswain. And, she loved doing that. She was on a team. But a few years later, it came back. And when it came back this time, they tried several things. There was no more surgical options. They tried different experimental approaches, stuff like that. But eventually, it took her.
Where did her spirit come from and that fight that she had for that 10 years?
I don't know. I've never met anyone with that spirit. You look back and you say that is the bravest person I've ever met.
What kind of support did you have along the way?
That's where we are very lucky. And I think a lot of people in Jacksonville are pretty lucky. Between our family and our neighbors, I mean, we had people. Imagine being at St. Jude's for 5-6 months or being at up in Rochester. We had people traveling up there that would take our place to give us a break. We had people come to the hospitals here, flying in from all over. But the other support you get is the first time you walk in and you have that shock where they tell you that you have your child has cancer. They bombard you, and I know that others know what I'm talking about. They bombard you with information. They toss books at you. They tell you to read this, look at that. They tell you, here's all these groups. You have no idea what they're talking about. There's people sitting in the room who later you learn are they're the angels. But you have no idea. And, the Child Cancer Fund, they probably introduced us to them the first couple of days, but we had no idea who they were, what they did. We learned later, with 10 years. But it's an incredible group.
What are some of the things that maybe you didn't know in the time that now as you reflect, you're able to say, boy, the Child Cancer Fund really helped us in these ways?
Well, I remember the dread. I did not want to go to the clinic. I did it all the time, but I did not want to go there. And we learned after the first couple of times, my wife would say, hey, well, Kelsey, did you see Jolly today? And I'd say, well, who's Jolly? Well, she's with the Child Cancer Fund, and she's at Nemours. She's the child life specialist. And, of course, that meant nothing to me. No idea, but you start learning that there's this person there that Kelsey loved going to see. It no longer was a clinic. It was, let's go see Jolly. Let's go do this. And over the years, that's she'd come back. Yeah, we saw Jolly today. We did this. We did that. It took away the fear. It took away that dread. And that was our first experience with the Child Cancer Fund, was meeting Jolly, and it changed the experience completely. At Nemours.
How did your relationship or the family's relationship with Jolly evolve through Kelsey's fight?
Well, you can imagine that Jolly was there for 10 years with us. She was at the hospital with us, not just the clinic. Jolly was at every spot. I think she'd turn up, and I don't know whether we contacted her or whether she was just there, but she found a way to be there every time. And no matter what, if there was a visit, there was Jolly. The other place we'd see her, any events that the kids went to, that the Child Cancer Fund put on, little things they did. Every year the Child Cancer Fund would help with the family weekends at Boggy Creek. And, originally our daughter said, "I'm not going to Boggy Creek," and Jolly kept saying, "No, you're going to go to Boggy Creek." And we kept thinking, no, this isn't a good idea. She's going to get sick. She's going to do this. She's going to hate it. And our daughter kept saying, "I'm not going." And Jolly kept saying, "Oh, Kelsey, you're going to go." She convinced her to go on her own. And then we went to the family weekend, and it turned out that was Kelsey's favorite place in the world. And Jolly convinced her. And that was just everywhere we went and everything we did, there was always Jolly to help back us up. And give us that support, along with a lot of other people.
We're visiting with John Sheafin, who lost his daughter Kelsey after a 10-year fight with cancer. And 855-636-6877, if you are motivated to want to help families. About every year or so in Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia, approximately 130 families get the news that John and his wife received in 2003. John, as we're talking and visiting about the loss, so much good came from Kelsey's life, I know, and the things that continue to live on even after her passing 4 years ago. In those moments where you and your wife are reflecting about her, which is probably every single second of every day, what makes you laugh and smile? What are the bright lights that you immediately think of with Kelsey?
She had Kelsey had a spirit, and if you talk to doctors, and I think a lot of kids that have gone through cancer, and depending on the age, have the same thing. They want to control what they do. They want to control their fate. And the doctors would tell you, the nurses would come in and say, "Well, what are we going to do with this?" And the doctor would turn and say, "Well, Kelsey's going to tell you." And she controlled her life. When they first said, somebody at school approached her and said, "Do you want to be on the crew team?" And here she is in probably riding her scooter at the time. It's a school. She's thinking that sounds crazy, but they explained it to her what a coxswain does, and we literally had what I'd call an intervention at the clinic, where they said she can't do this, and I remember Dr. Sandler looking around the room to the other doctors and the nurses that were in there. And after about a half hour, they said, "You don't understand. She's doing this." And he said, "It's not a matter of whether she's doing it. It's how we're going to do it." And that was what she did. We would travel, and this is something Jolly helped arrange. We would travel to places and have to have the medicine sent to the hotels. And I mean, imagine going to Vegas. And Kelsey loved Vegas because of the food and the shows. And she would insist, if there was something going on, like a wedding or something we'd go to, she'd insist, "I want to go there." But we'd have to get the logistics set up. But it wasn't a matter of if. She said, "I'm going there." Jolly and others would help us get all the medicine sent to the hotel as we traveled. And we'd get to the hotel, there'd be this big box of stuff. We'd do IVs in the room. But that was her spirit. She wanted to go to college, so she spent a semester at FAU, and she was determined. But she would each night we had set up a pulley system, and she would give herself an IV, through her ports and lines, and pull the pulley up and give herself the fluids. And every day, she just had that spirit.
Was it hard when she made the choice to leave home to go?
It was terrifying, but at that point, I mean, imagine you're first told your child has cancer. You want to put him in a bubble.
Right.
You don't want a germ. You want the foods to be overcooked. You want everything. as you go on, you say, we weren't supposed to have more than a couple months. And you start learning, okay, we're just going to do it. And by then, as much as it scared us, we said, she wants to do it, we're going to do it. Hmm. I remember the doctor saying, couldn't she pick a place closer to home? And we all looked up and said, you don't get it. She doesn't want to be close to home. That's the idea. She wants to go to college and have that experience. She was able to do it.
Because the initial diagnosis was months and you had 10 years, was it often a source of conversation to talk about her mortality? Was it often something that you all had to encounter? How did you handle that through that journey?
And I expect this is different for everybody. Kelsey would tell us, yeah, I know everything going on, I know, but I want to live while I'm here. So she would just say, I know what's going on. I know, you know, what the all the percentages and stuff like that, but let's just figure out how to live for today. And that's what she did. So we didn't have the talk a lot. I mean, we did talk when we knew there were no more things they could do. I wouldn't say she was okay with it, but she knew it the whole way. So I think in that sense we were a little luckier than a lot of people. A lot of people have the shock and the loss one after another. We had the shock, and then we had a lot of good time, and then the loss. It doesn't make the loss any easier, but you're able to enjoy some things. I wouldn't say prepare, but you're getting ready. You know, you're able to deal with it a little better. And Kelsey was, she just kept saying, I'm here today, so I'm going to live. You know, and that's what she did.
It was a life well lived.
Yep.
How have you, in the years that you've lost her, honored, remembered? How has the spirit gone forward?
You know, a lot of people we know, it changes you. And I think a lot of people we know, they talk about Kelsey, and they talk about how her life has changed them. It changed me. You know, I can't go through life now not looking and feeling. You used to go through life in steps and say, okay, I go to work today, I come home, I put out the garbage, I do this. And you could pass that guy in the corner that's looking for money and just pass. I can't pass him by. You know, you just... You walk down the beach, you see homeless, you see kids that are sick, you can't pass them by. And a lot of our friends tell us the same thing.
There's something to remember and honor Kelsey here.
Yep. Well, when Kelsey passed, one of the things she always told us was she wished, when you go into Nemours, a lot of the little kids she'd see, and you know, she was little when she started, but she'd see the little kids looking for things to do. And all of our neighbors and friends, they got together and got a playhouse. And as you walk into the oncology ward at Nemours, you'll see that playhouse with Kelsey's name on it. And that was just a wonderful thing.
And where did the playhouse come from?
Our neighbors and friends that have been with us through the whole battle, they work with the Child Cancer Fund, and they help fund the Child Cancer Fund to go get the playhouse, put it in there, and dedicate it. So we worked with this whole team here with Child Cancer Fund to put that in place, or they did.
And that brings so many smiles to so many kids' faces during those scary times and scary days.
Yeah, and ours, every time we see it.
If someone's thinking that they are wanting to help out, in the ways that you all were affected, I don't even know if you still have medical bills from a 10-year fight, but in the ways that the Child Cancer Fund has been able to help out, and knowing that if I were to hear your story and feel like I would like to help, $25, does that really go a long way to a family that's battling childhood cancer?
Oh, it sure does. You know, just going to get, our daughter loved Outback Steakhouse. I don't know why, but she would ask us, can you go get Outback Steakhouse tonight? Something little like that, if you're in the battle and you have no extra money, having someone help you with those expenses and things like that lets you do stuff like that. It lets you go to some of the events that the Child Cancer Fund goes to. And I always like to keep things local. You know, it's, yeah, there's a lot of national organizations. You can send them a check. You have no idea where the money goes to. You can go walk down the street, and you can go here in Jacksonville. The Child Cancer Fund and some of the others that help, they're local. You can go see what they do. You know, just giving you guys a call, I think you said the number was 855-636-6877 to donate. I mean, folks, if you knew families, that goes a long way.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.